Hello, and welcome back to Texas Tech Health Check from Texas Tech University Health Sciences Center. I'm your host, Melissa Whitfield. We want you to get healthy and stay healthy with help from evidence-based advice from our physicians, healthcare providers, and researchers. You might expect peace and quiet in rural areas, but although it's like that sometimes, for adolescents living there, it can get loud enough to cause noise-induced hearing loss. What is this? How does it happen? How is it treated? And how can you prevent it? Is what our expert tells us in this episode. Our guest is Dr. Leanne Reel, Director of the Center for Speech, Language, and Hearing Research in the Doctor of Audiology program in the School of Health Professions. Dr. Reel, welcome to our podcast.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Can you tell us a little bit about yourself, your expertise, and what you do here at the Health Sciences Center?
Sure. So I am an associate professor of audiology in the Department of Speech, Language, and Hearing Sciences, and I'm also the director for the Center for Speech, Language, and Hearing Research. And I primarily teach in our Doctor of Audiology program. I also teach in our PhD program some. I supervise in our audiology clinic, and then I conduct research. And right now, that research primarily focuses on noise exposure for different populations.
Well, again, welcome to our podcast.
Thank you.
What are the different types of hearing loss? And can you talk some more about noise-induced hearing loss?
Sure. So there are really three main types of hearing loss. The first is called conductive hearing loss. That's when you have some sort of problem that's affected your ear canal, or even your pinna. It can also affect your middle ear. That's actually the more common cause of conductive hearing loss. So things like having an ear infection would cause conductive hearing loss, or having some sort of problem with your eardrum. That would be called conductive hearing loss. Another big type of hearing loss is sensory neural hearing loss. That's when you have something that has damaged your inner ear, which is called your cochlea. Or it can be something that affects your auditory nerve that carries the signal from your inner ear to your brain. So we call that type sensory neural hearing loss. That's the kind of hearing loss that you get with age. It's also going to be what you get with noise-induced hearing loss. And then you can have a combination of those two things. Say you had an ear infection and you have hearing loss related to age, you would have what we call mixed hearing loss. So noise-induced hearing loss is where you've been exposed to noise that is loud enough to damage your auditory structures. And usually the damage is in your inner ear. We have many, many, many tiny, very delicate hair cells in our inner ears that we're born with, and you're only born with a certain number of them. And unfortunately, we can't regrow them once they're damaged. And those little hair cells are damaged by exposure to loud noise. It can also damage other parts of your inner ear, and it can damage the delicate nerve fibers that are connected to those hair cells. So when we say you have noise-induced hearing loss, it means you've been around noise loud enough to cause some sort of damage to those delicate structures.
How many adults and children are affected by noise-induced hearing loss?
So, a lot. Some of the more recent statistics for the U.S. for adults suggest that around a quarter of adults in the general population have some degree of noise-induced hearing loss. And one thing that I find really interesting and important about this large-scale study that they did, before they tested the people's hearing, they had them rate what they thought their hearing was like. And when they then later compared their ratings to their actual hearing test results, they found that of those people who had noise-induced hearing loss on their hearing test, about a quarter of them had rated their hearing as good to excellent. So, you know, that just tells us we aren't always a good judge of whether or not that noise has started to cause maybe smaller amounts of damage to our hearing. So that's why it's really important to have a full audiological evaluation by an audiologist if you are exposed to noise, to get an idea of what your hearing is, so then we can monitor it and see if noise is affecting it.
Now, out here, we live in an area surrounded by rural areas, which we would think of as quiet, but that's not true. So how does growing up in a rural area affect children's hearing?
Well, so one thing I failed to say in terms of how many people are affected by hearing loss is that noise-induced hearing loss can start at any age. People have a tendency to think that that's something I won't have to worry about until I'm, quote, older, but it can start at any age. And what some of the statistics that we have suggest that in the general population of children, about 12% of kids have permanent noise-induced hearing loss. But related to your question about children in rural areas, some of the studies that have specifically looked at kids in rural areas show that that percentage almost doubles in rural kids. So around 22 to 23% of rural kids have permanent noise-induced hearing loss. And I grew up in a rural area, which is what actually motivated me to start research related to noise exposure, because when, like you said, you tend to think, oh, it's quiet, and it is quiet. However, it depends on where you live and what types of activities you're involved in. I grew up in a rural farming community, and it was very common for kids to help on the farm and start driving the tractors at a young age. And so a lot of times the noise exposure is going to be related to, you know, farm equipment, even lots of power tools. You're doing things like that in the country, and then recreational activities. So hunting was very common where I grew up, target shooting. And I honestly do not remember anyone ever telling us we should wear hearing protection. I don't. It was not until I got into audiology and started learning about noise-induced hearing loss that I thought, oh my, what were we doing? No one, but I don't remember anyone even telling us. Just no one wore hearing protection. My dad didn't wear hearing protection. And later on, it was very apparent it significantly damaged his hearing, his exposure to farm equipment and to guns. And so we're trying to, you know, bring awareness of that, of the types of noises that are loud enough to damage children's hearing as well as adults' hearing. And one of the areas that we focused on in some of our research so far is with rural kids.
Is noise-induced hearing loss, is that a bit like skin cancer, where one really bad exposure can do a lot of damage, or does it have to be a little over a long time?
That is a very good question. So both. So you can have immediate permanent noise-induced hearing loss from a single very loud noise exposure. And the issue is it may or may not be enough to be obvious to you that it happened. So it can be like dramatic if you were exposed to an explosion, or even there are reports of airbags going off and hitting the ear just right and causing what we call acoustic trauma. When the noise is loud enough, it actually can rupture your eardrum and cause problems in the inner ear as well. So those are kind of dramatic examples. It can also be possible just with a single gunshot to notice immediate permanent damage. So that is definitely possible. What is more common is that it happens in such small increments over time that you don't realize it's happening. So I always tell people noise-induced hearing loss most often sneaks up on people. So I bet maybe have you experienced this? I think most of us have. Have you ever been to something loud and then like a concert or something and afterwards you notice your ears are ringing, things sound weird, kind of muffled? But usually over hours or maybe even a day or so, those symptoms kind of gradually start to go away and you feel like everything went back to normal. What people don't realize is each time that happens, you're most likely being left with a small amount of permanent damage that's just not enough that you perceptually notice it yet. And so people keep thinking, and I hear this all the time from people, yeah, it goes away. And so like they just keep going and doing their activities with no hearing protection until later on, then you start to notice some problems in your everyday life. And then there's nothing we can do about it.
What are the symptoms of noise-induced hearing loss?
Well, so like I was saying, that ringing in your ears, which we call tinnitus, that's one of the biggest symptoms. And people should really pay attention to that. If that starts happening, that's your body telling you that something's not right. And there are many causes of tinnitus. So it doesn't always mean it's your noise exposure. But if you do have noise exposure and you're experiencing tinnitus, it's very likely that there's some sort of damage that's starting to happen in your ear. So in addition to tinnitus, the other main thing would be decreased hearing. And particularly, it'll start in the higher pitches. And so we hear people say things like, well, I can hear fine, I just can't understand. Well, sometimes that's because you have hearing loss in the high pitches. And so you're just missing some of those high-pitched sounds, and that's what helps you to understand what was said. So those would be the two biggest symptoms. And like I said before, sometimes they start out and they seem temporary, and they improve after your noise exposure. But eventually, with more noise exposure, those things will start to become permanent. It's not as common, but some people also experience what's called hyperacusis, and that's where, say, a loud sound that wouldn't bother somebody else, like a toilet flushing in a public restroom or being, you know, at a loud ball game or something that other people are like, yeah, that's loud, but it's not. If you have hyperacusis, those sounds are like painfully loud. And so that's something else that sometimes with continued noise exposure, people will report experiencing.
Well, then how do you treat hearing loss?
So the thing about noise-induced hearing loss is there is nothing we can do to technically treat it. There's not any surgery or medication that will reverse it once it happens. Once you have noise-induced hearing loss, it is typically permanent. Hearing aids can certainly help someone who has noise-induced hearing loss. They can be very beneficial, but we always want people to understand that as much as hearing aids help, and I'm an audiologist, so of course I know how much hearing aids help people, they're not a magic fix. They don't restore your hearing back to exactly how it was before. And with noise-induced hearing loss and other types of hearing loss that damage your inner ear, the hearing aid's going to try to push sound through a damaged system. And once those little delicate parts of your inner ear are damaged, they don't ever work like they used to, and the hearing aid can't fix that. So it can help, but there's still going to be some issues. And I feel like that's something that's really important for people to understand, because I hear people say, when I talk about noise-induced hearing loss, sometimes, I'll just get a hearing aid, you know, and it won't be that big of a deal. But if you talk to people who have hearing loss and wear hearing aids, it is a big deal. It's a very big deal. So treatment, we can't reverse it. But the good news is we know exactly what causes noise-induced hearing loss. It's noise exposure. So we can prevent it, which is great. So that's what we really focus on, is trying to help people understand how noise can impact their hearing and how important it is to prevent noise-induced hearing loss.
Well, then how can we prevent it? What kind of protection do you recommend?
Well, so there's lots of different kinds of hearing protection, and really the best hearing protection is the one that the person will wear consistently. So what's best for one person isn't necessarily what's best for someone else. There are lots of different types and kind of a pretty wide price range as well. Anywhere from, I think most people are familiar with earmuffs, protective earmuffs. Those are actually a great option because it's difficult to put those on wrong unless you're intentionally trying to, because they're just made to cover your ears. And if you can find some, now you may have to kind of play with which ones fit your head the best, but protective earmuffs are a great option. They even make them for kids. You may have seen, I don't know if you've seen anybody or seen on television, like they make them for babies. And I don't know if you remember back, Michael Phelps is actually, I think, who in the Olympics years ago kind of made those more popular and actually brought awareness to it, because when he was swimming, his little baby in the stands had tiny little earmuffs on. And then it was like people realized, oh, those are out there. So you see them a little more often. Foam earplugs are another inexpensive option. The problem with foam earplugs is they're actually kind of difficult to get in correctly. even for me, you know, I know how to do it and it's kind of hard. And so people tend to wear those incorrectly. And if you're wearing them incorrectly, they don't provide as much protection as they're supposed to. But they're an option. There are custom earplugs, which are a great option. They're a little more expensive because they are made for your ear specifically, but they'll last for a long time. They're going to fit your ear comfortably, and they're going to be easy for you to put in. And then lastly, another big category would be electronic hearing protection. So there are different options for that as well. But the main idea with electronic hearing protection is it will provide a little bit of amplification when noise or when sounds are soft, because that's one of the common complaints. People don't want to wear hearing protection because sometimes you need to communicate with people around you while you're wearing it. For example, people who hunt, that's a common reason that people don't wear hearing protection hunting, because they want to be able to talk to who they're with. And it's important to talk to the person you're with. And then they want to be able to hear like soft sounds as like, you know, the deer walking through the grass or something. And you can't hear that with hearing protection, typical hearing protection. But if you wear electronic, it'll amplify those soft sounds. But when then there's a loud sound like a gunshot, the amplification cuts off. And it provides hearing protection. So that's a great option too. I do want to mention that it's important to know how loud is too loud. And there's a lot of questions about that. You know, when do you need to wear hearing protection? Is this sound loud enough to need hearing protection, or is it not? And our general cutoff is 85 decibels. If anything is 85 decibels or greater, there is the chance that that could damage your hearing. Now, you don't automatically know if something's 85 decibels just walking around in life. One quick rule that you can use is if you're an arm's length away from someone and you have to raise your voice to communicate with them, there's a good chance that that noise that's around you is at least 85 dB. So that's a quick rule. Another option is, now there's an app for everything, right? So there are sound level meter apps that you can get on your phone. They're not all created equal in terms of your accuracy. And some of the research out there suggests that there's one from the National Institute for Occupational Safety and Health, NIOSH, and it's free. Now, it is only for iPhones because of the consistency across, you know, all iPhones having the same kind of platform versus Androids. But it's free, and research has shown that it's fairly accurate. So I recommend that people get some sort of sound level meter app to at least give you a ballpark idea of how loud the noise is. And another thing, lots of people wear Apple Watches now, and they have a noise feature. And we've done kind of some preliminary research with the Apple Watch noise feature, and it's also been fairly accurate. Not so accurate you would use it to determine if someone was required to wear hearing protection in a job setting, but to give you a rough idea, I think both of those are good options.
Well, I have to admit that I stopped wearing my watch when I blow dry my hair, because it just kept giving me an alert saying it's really loud. So rather than not blow drying my hair, I just took off my watch.
That makes sense.
Well, is there anything else that you would like to add?
I would just say I want to encourage people to value your hearing now. I think that a lot of times people don't realize just how important your hearing is until you start to lose it. And I have never talked to someone who has noise-induced hearing loss who says, oh, I'm so glad that I didn't wear hearing protection. They always say, I wish I could go back in time and wear hearing protection, because life with hearing loss is not easy of any degree. Even if you have mild hearing loss, it changes most aspects of your life. Things become more challenging. And, you know, noise-induced hearing loss is one of the few things. There's lots of things that we don't know how to prevent it. We know how to prevent noise-induced hearing loss. And it may be a little inconvenient, you know, to have to put on hearing protection. And it's, you know, maybe not as comfortable as not wearing hearing protection. But I promise your future self will thank you if you wear hearing protection now and protect your hearing.
Well, thank you so much again for coming on our podcast and sharing all this great information. I will definitely start wearing hearing protection when I blow dry my hair from now on. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for listening to Texas Tech Health Check. Make sure to subscribe or follow wherever you listen to podcasts. This information is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice. Always seek immediate medical advice from your physician or your healthcare provider for questions regarding your health or medical condition. Texas Tech Health Check is brought to you by Texas Tech University Health Sciences Center and produced by Tierra Castillo, Susanna Cisneros, Mark Hendricks, Kay Williams, Hope Caperton, and me, Melissa Whitfield.